Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the New Heights Show on Education. Excuse me. This is Pamela Clark, and I'm the founder and director of New Heights Educational Group. And this is a special edition regarding the Common Core curriculum. We've been doing a show every day this week, trying to get through some of the stuff that we've learned about it and share it with all of you. And we're going to continue with that tonight. Last night, we ended the show when we were hearing about the concerns of North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, and we had some technical difficulties with that, and I have refreshed everything right before the show, so hopefully we won't have any kind of technical difficulties, but we may. So anyways, I want to pick up where I left off with that, because I think that, you know, he has some important points. And I want you to have other people's opinion other than me, of course. And, of course, lieutenant governors are always good to have kind of as a backup. So we're going to start. He had said earlier, I'm not going to make you listen to the whole video again, but up until this point he was talking about how it was truly like a cookie-cutter education for everyone, and that how everyone's supposed to learn at the same time across all of the United States. Every state is supposedly supposed to do this, and that includes, and this is something I say, he didn't say this, but this is also supposed to be for special needs kids, so it doesn't matter if you have a learning disability or not, you still have to learn the same pace as everyone else. And if you have a special needs child, you know that isn't possible. So anyways, we're going to pick up where we left off and hear what he has to say.
Know what we will be getting with Common Core without first vetting and testing it? Common sense says no. The unknown costs of Common Core implementation are equally concerning to me. No one knows for sure the cost of implementing the standards across the state. California recently requested $1 billion over and above their traditional allocation for education just for implementation of Common Core in their school systems. Education currently consumes 55% of our entire state budget. In the rush to roll out Common Core, I am not convinced that proper due diligence has been conducted to properly budget for this monumental expenditure for our state. The cost of implementation, books, testing, grading, teacher training is not known at this time, yet we are on a course of no return in adopting the Common Core. My question is why? The other unknown with Common Core is the data collection that is apparently going to be allowed under the testing associated with the Common Core standards. It is my understanding that a significant amount of student data will be collected by the participating school systems and has the potential of being shared with other outside entities. What data will be collected? By whom? Shared with whom? The answers to these questions should have been answered prior to North Carolina agreeing to the implementation of Common Core. And finally, a third of all states in our country have either rejected Common Core or are currently seeking legislative action to pause or back out of implementation. The question is why? Over the next few months, at the State Board of Education monthly meetings, the new State Board of Education will be reviewing Common Core to get the answers to these and other questions. I, for one, will be doing so with a critical eye. Perhaps a fresh set of eyes will give us reason to pause and make sure our state looks before we leap into Common Core.
Okay, so that was the end of his video, and that, as I had stated yesterday, that it was published on June 4th, 2013, and the video for that is on YouTube, and it's under My Concerns with Common Core, North Carolina, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. So we're going to move on. I have other videos to share, too, but I also have an interesting story to share with you, and this was just shared. Well, actually, I shared some time ago. Let me take a look at this again. It says posted at 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12:05 of 2011. And this is when an adult took standardized test forced on kids by Valerie Strauss. And this was in the Washington Post. And let's see. The original post was shared by Marion Brady, a veteran teacher, administrator, and curriculum designer and author. And it said, a longtime friend on the school board of one of the largest school systems in America did something that few public servants are willing to do. He took versions of his state's high-stakes standardized math and reading tests for 10th graders and said he'd make his scores public. By any reasonable measure, my friend is a success. His now-growing kids are well-educated. He has a big house in a good part of town, paid for condo in the Caribbean, influential friends, lots of frequent flyer miles, even time of his own to give serious attention to his school board responsibilities. The margins of his electoral wins and his good relationships with administrators and teachers testify to his openness to dialogue and willingness to listen. He called me in the morning. He took the test to say he was sure he had it done well, but he had to wait for the results. A couple of days ago, realizing that the local school board members don't seem to be playing much of a role in the current reform brouhaha, I asked him what he now thought about the test he'd taken. He said, I won't beat around the bush, he wrote in an email. The math section had 60 questions. I knew the answers to none of them, but managed to guess 10 out of the 60 correctly. On the reading test, I got 62%. In our system, that's a D, and would give me a mandatory assignment to double block of reading instruction. He continued, It seems to me something is seriously wrong. I have a Bachelor of Science degree, two master's degrees, and 15 credit hours towards a doctorate. I help oversee an organization with 22,000 employees and a $3 billion operation and capital budget, and am able to make sense of complex data related to those responsibilities. I have a wide circle of friends in various professions. Since taking the test, I've detailed its contents as best as I can to many of them, particularly in the math section, which does more than its share of shoving students in our system out of school and onto the street. Not a single one of them said that the math I described was necessary in their profession. It might have been argued that I've been out of school too long, that if I'd actually been in the 10th grade prior to taking the test, the material would have been fresh. But doesn't that miss the point? A test that can determine a student's future life chances should surely relate in some practical way to the requirements of life. I can't see how that could possibly be true of the test I took. Here's the clincher in what he wrote. If I'd been required to take those two tests when I was a 10th grader, my life would almost certainly have been very difficult. I'd have been told I wasn't college material, would probably have believed it, and looked for work appropriate for the level of ability that the test that I had. It makes no sense to me that a test with the potential for shaping a student's entire future has so little apparent relevance to an adult. Real-world functioning. Who decided the kind of questions and their level of difficulty? Using what criteria? To whom did they have to defend their decision? As subject matter specialists, how qualified were they to make judgments about the needs of this state's children in the future they can't possibly predict? Who set the pass-fail cut score, and how? I can't escape the conclusion that decisions about the state test, in particular and standardized tests in general, are being made by individuals who lack perspective and aren't really accountable. There you have it, a concise summary of what's wrong with the present driven education change, corporate driven education change. Decisions are being made by individuals who lack perspective and aren't really accountable. Those decisions are shaped not by knowledge or understanding of educating, but by ideology, politics, hubris, greed, ignorance, and the conventional wisdom and various combinations thereof. And then they're sold to the public by the rich and the powerful. And that without so much as a pilot program to see if their simplistic, worn-out ideas work, and without single procedure in place that imposes on them what they demand of teachers, accountability. But maybe there's hope. As I write a New York Times story by Michael Winterup, makes my day, the stupidity of the current test-based thrust of reform has triggered the first revolt of school principals. Winterup writes, as of last night, 658 principals around the state of New York had signed a letter, 488 of them from Long Island, where the insurrection began, protesting the use of student test scores to evaluate tests and principals' performance. One of those school principals, Winterup says, is Bernard Kaplan. Kaplan runs one of the highest achieving schools in the state, but is required to attend 10 training sessions. It's education by humiliation, Kaplan said. I've never seen teachers and principals so degraded. Carol Burris, named the 2010 Educator of the Year by the School Administrators Association of New York State, has to attend those 10 training sessions. Katie Zahidi, another principal, said the session she attended was 2 days of total nonsense. I have a PhD. I'm in a school every day, and some consultant is supposed to be teaching me to do evaluations. A fourth principal, Mario Fernandez, called the evaluation process a product of ludicrous shallow thinking. They're expecting a tornado to go through a junkyard and have a brand new Mercedes pop up. My school board member friend concluded his email with this: I can't escape the conclusion that those of us who are expected to follow through on decisions that have been made for us are doing something ethically questionable. He's wrong. What they're being made to do isn't ethnically questionable, it's ethnically unacceptable, ethnically reprehensible, ethnically indefensible. How many of the approximately 100,000 school principals in the U.S. would join the revolt if their ethical principles trumped their fears of retribution? Why haven't they been asked? Interesting article. I wanted to share that. And again, that's on thewashingtonpost.com. Okay, I have another video recording to share with you. This was published July 31st, 2013 by Dr. Duke Pesta. And he describes what's wrong with the federalized one-size-fits-all common core standards for American education. Academic Director of the Freedom Project, and it is 5 minutes long. Let me check our time. We got plenty of time, so I'm going to go right into this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Duke Pesta, Academic Director of Freedom Project Education and contributor to the New American Magazine. I'd like to talk to you today about one of the great problems facing the American Republic, one that is far less publicized than Obamacare or some of the other debacles that are taking place nationally, and that's the Common Core Standards for American Education. Common Core Standards are a series of nationalized, federalized standards, a one-size-fits-all educational paradigm that's going to be imposed on every state in the union. Every public school kid will have no choice but to study this way. And the Common Core Standards were founded by a group of very liberal Washington, D.C. lobbyists, funded to a large degree by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a very liberal, progressive organization, who has got behind closed doors with a small group of activists, lobbyists, and they put together these federalized standards. And among the terrors our country is facing with these standards is absolute lack of local, state, individual schools and school boards will have no input in this. These federalized standards are copyrighted. They can't be changed. They will be imposed regardless of what kids need based on their location and area. All school districts in different parts of the country have different needs, different student bases. All this will be ignored for this cookie-cutter, one-size-fit-all. It's sort of Obamacare for education, and it is disastrous. Take math standards. Well, our kids for years have been unable to work higher math problems successfully. So the federal government's response to this is to do math by estimation. The purpose of math is no longer to get right answers all the time. The purpose of math is now to be able to dialogue and discourse about mathematics. The word they use is math fluency. Isn't that wonderful? To become fluent in math. Not necessarily good or not necessarily successful in working math, but to become fluent. So they have this process now called estimation. At Freedom Project, we've talked to a number of moms whose school districts have already adopted parts of this curriculum, and they can't help their kids with math. They sit down to help their kids with their math problems, and they work to the right answer, and the kids tell them, Mommy, we can't do it that way. We're not allowed to do it that way. Estimation is the key. We've had students who, on exams, have worked math problems, gotten the right answer, and then have been docked points, if not had the exam marked wrong, because the purpose was not to get the right answer, but to estimate what the right answer would be. So for those kids who are unable to derive the one right answer, a range of answers is acceptable. This is what's happening to math. It's just as bad for literature and English programs as well, reading programs. Many of the great classic works of literature are being removed from the curriculum. The idea that great literature in the Western world is a means to elevate kids morally, to get them intellectually curious, to spark interest, all that's been removed for a remarkably prosaic approach to reading, right? One that insists on reading for the most summary reading, reading for a major point or bullet point. And what are they replacing much of this classic literature with in the classroom? They're replacing it with government pamphlets, EPA pamphlets. Another major problem of this paradigm is the radical inclusion of sexuality standards. Kids as young as first and second grade now are going to have to be able to provide a narrative about why alternative families are the equals of traditional families. All this in first and second grade. This Common Core program is a Trojan horse for Planned Parenthood, for national sex standards, for all sorts of liberal indoctrination of spin that makes the current school system look tame by comparison. This is the challenge that we face as parents today. And don't think you're going to get off the hook if you're homeschooling, because all the standardized tests, the ACT, the SAT, all the college entrance exams are now geared towards Common Core. So even if you homeschool your kids can do math, your kids can read at a high level, your kids haven't been indoctrinated with all that left-wing nonsense. When your kids go to take those exams, they may be the brightest kids in the room, but if they can't answer the question the way the Common Core wants them to, they won't pass those exams. And what's going to happen in 4 or 5 years? Right now, homeschool kids are up here, public school kids are down here in terms of performance. In 4 or 5 years, that's going to flip. It's going to have to, because everything's going to be taught to this Common Core except the homeschool curriculum. And what's going to end up happening is the federal government will look at this in 4 or 5 years, see how much better the public schools are doing, and then seek legislation to ban homeschooling altogether. This is what's coming down the road. Stay informed. Contact us at The New American or at Freedom Project Education if you'd like more information. Thank you.
Wow, right? Okay, now I'm going to share some stuff from a document that actually one of our board members put together. She's been really researching this along with me, and she has put everything in one document to go by. About 10 minutes, so this is a 17-page document if I check the time. And she's really been diving into it, and she put the 17-page document together. So we're going to work on getting through this. We are going to have a show tomorrow night and the next night. And, of course, these are live, but they're not really live because I'm not sharing the links till they're all done. We don't want call-ins until this Saturday, so Saturday we'll open the phone lines. But anyway, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to start working through her document that she's put together. Her name's Margaret Spangler. And like I said, she's really been working hard to give us some information. So what is Common Core? The thought of Common Core goes back many, many years. Back in 1989, Lamar Alexander, a politician from Tennessee, gave a speech about wanting to create an open and a brand new American school that would take babies at 3 months old, all the way to 12th grade, every day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. year-round. These schools would be located in every state capital to take care of all the needs of every student. And I personally, I believe I watched his video just last week. So that is online. You might want to look that up. Lamar Alexander, 1989. What is Common Core exactly? It is a set of standards. It isn't even a curriculum. These standards will drive assessments and curriculum to come. They are currently affecting English, language arts, and math. But I know personally, and it's not listed here, it's going to encompass every subject. It was discussed under President Ronald Reagan. It really took off under President George W. Bush, but was launched on February of 2009 with the passing of the stimulus bill, which is where it was buried in. Karen Bracken personally believes that the bill was passed so President Obama could pay off his cronies and to bypass Congress so he could ultimately pass what he wanted without interference from Congress. The $4.35 billion was earmarked out of the stimulus bill to the federal government, or DOE. The DOE used these funds to create the Race to the Top competition. Phase one of this competition began on November 2009 for states to fill out applications, which were due January of 2010, to obtain some of that earmarked funding from the stimulus bill. To apply for the RTT grants, states had to agree to accept the Common Core standards sight unseen, which is what I was talking about on Saturday. The first draft of these standards was not released until March of 2010. Out of the 50 states, 45 states plus D.C. applied for RTTT grants, but only 11 states and D.C. won the money. All states committed to these new standards just by applying whether they won money or not. And I also know, and I don't know if she's going to mention it in here because I haven't read the whole thing yet, but the woman she mentioned, Karen Bracken, actually called President Obama's the school where he sends his girls to and asked if it would be offered there, the Common Core. And she said no, and they had no plans in the future of ever implementing it in their school. So isn't that interesting? If the states refuse to continue to accept the Common Core because they did not receive the funding, they were told that it was a competition and that they would lose the Title I funding. If they continue to pursue the idea of backing out because the states have already passed this, Common Core can only be repealed at the state level, meaning legislators can only do this, not our schools or teachers. Their rights as local administrators were done away with when Common Core was accepted. This was slipped under the radar, and many senators and congressmen are clueless about the Common Core standards because they accepted it sight unseen. When states applied for this grant money, a point system was used to score the applicants to see who was the most deserving. A state would receive 70 points just for accepting the new standards, which became Common Core, and 47 points for accepting the database to track the children and their families from pre-K to workforce, which totals 117 points. Another section was for improving poor performing schools, which only earned 50 points. This alone shows you that this was more about tracking, monitoring, and controlling our children than actually helping improve academic performance. As I'm reading through all of this, and I know Margaret has said the same thing as I was learning and really studying this, the more I study it, the more I keep thinking of Hitler's youth and the things they were learning back in communist Germany. Maybe you want to look that up and compare the two and see what you're in for. Again, what exactly is Common Core? It is a set of standards that affects English, language, arts, and math. The purpose of math is no longer to get the right answer or to learn from your wrong answer, but about math estimation. You are to estimate the answer, not to get it right. If you get an answer wrong but can state the mechanics of how you came about to this answer, you still get it correct. But say you get the answer correct but are unsure of the exact mechanics of how you came to that answer, you get it wrong. Does this make sense to you? Because it doesn't to me. This is what they call math fluency. Under literature, the Western classics are no longer going to be taught and are being removed at an alarming rate. In the middle school, the percentage will be 50-50 for reading info text and literature books. By high school, the percentage will be 70-30. Why? Because the classics are looked at as elevating the student morally and to get them intellectually curious, which is complete antithesis of what the members who are behind Common Core want. What exactly are the Western classics? Here are some examples. The Republic by Plato, The Gallic War by Caesar, Divine Comedy by Dante, Second Treatise, I know how to say it, but I can't right now, by John Locke, Canterbury Tales by Chaucer, Author by Mallory, Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet, King Lear, Henry IV by Shakespeare, Democracy in America, U.S. Constitution, interesting, huh? And the Federalist Papers. Instead, these works are being replaced with summary reading that are infotext or bullet points, which are government-issued pamphlets by the EPA and Planned Parenthood, just to name a few. The Common Core Standards is being used as a Trojan horse for Planned Parenthood and the National Sex Standards. Children, by the time they are in first or second grade, must now provide a narrative on why alternative families are equal to traditional families. What are some of the issues with Common Core? Complete lack of local and regional input. Standards are copyrighted and can't be changed, imposed regardless of demographic and geographic needs or differences. It's a cookie-cutter design that is doomed to fail. Homeschooling versus Common Core standards. All curriculum and tests will be aligned towards Common Core. This includes the ACT, the PSAT, or SAT, and SAT tests. The ACT, ACT, and PSAT tests already are so, and by the end of 2014 school year, so will the SAT. So what does this mean as a high school homeschooler? If you can't answer the questions the way Common Core wants you to, you will fail the ACT and SAT tests, which are instrumental in being accepted into college. Within 4 years, homeschoolers will be failing and unable to enter colleges, while on the flip side, the public school sector will be improving. Okay, we're running out of time, so we're going to see. It is actually working. More smoke and mirrors. Federal government will use this as an opportunity to impose legislation to do away with homeschooling, thus forcing our children and families under Big Brother's watchful eye. This will happen, folks, if we as homeschool families continue to stick our heads in the proverbial sand and do nothing. We'll pick it up there tomorrow, and we'll talk more about it. Thanks for your time, and have a good night.
Stormy peace. raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up.